Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We're so glad you're here. You can just fill that out. When we receive tithes and offerings later on in the service, you can just put that in the offering bucket, or you can just go to the CD counter, and we're glad to give you some free resources. We just love to share the Word of God here. And my husband is the senior pastor. Jim and I started this church 25 years ago. We're going to be 25 years old on June 23rd and 24th. We're celebrating our 25th birthday. We are having extravaganza, and we are in a capital stewardship campaign. Now, you've received a brochure, and we're going to be talking about this. So this is a season that we're at the Rock Church, a very interesting and dynamic and supernatural season. Let me explain. We, 10 years ago, moved into this building, and this church raised $5 million, and we were much smaller than we are now, and we were building the church. And so here we are 10 years later, and the Lord put it in my son's hearts and my husband's hearts that we need to do something and push in as we break 25 years to push in supernaturally into the kingdom and to pay this church off. God instructed us that we need to get free and clear. We need to get out of debt, that the borrower is slave to the lender. And in this time of difficulty and resource, and people have lost their homes, and we all know what's happened, and we've all could probably testify of God's miracle working power, but also of some loss, but he keeps us. We know that God is putting into our hearts and our spirits as leaders here that we need to take seriously the warning of the Lord and to get free and clear. And that in doing that, three things are going to happen. Number one, freedom for the future, which is what we have here as our campaign slogan. We will be free from the bondage of an institution. No one will take this building from the next generation. No one, no one, no one. Not, it won't become a mosque. It won't become something that it wasn't designed to be. You can go on the Redlands campus of the University of Redlands, and it was built by Christians. It was a Christian university. That's why there's scripture all over there, but now it's a secular university. This is holy ground. This will stay holy ground in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God's a God of multi-generations, and he's called us to, number two, give our next generation children, my children and my grandchildren and your children and your grandchildren, a gift of faith and sacrifice that says we believe in you and we want to help you go further, faster than we did. We were the tip of the arrow of this thing. We laid the foundation, but God's got this next generation now. And they're going further, and they're going faster, and God wants us to equip them. The sons don't lay up for the fathers. The fathers lay up for the sons. And God says, pay this church off and give this over to the next generation and watch them run with the gospel to and fro. Because number three, the third thing that God says we'll have freedom for is it will release all that interest debt that we are paying every month into ministries. Iglesia La Roca is growing. We can build a new sanctuary at the other end of this church. What a testimony that is when Hispanic and English can come together and be one tribe under one church, one nation, honoring and loving each other. And from the Spanish-speaking service, I'd love to see a Cambodian service. And every language that's in this valley, I'd love to see the gospel preached in their mother tongue. Because God's a God of tribes and generations. He's a God of every culture. We are one tribe. We are one race. We are one generation in him. There is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond or free, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. We are of the kingdom of God, of the tribe of Judah, a new creation. And so God has so much planned for this congregation. So here we are, and we're bringing this to you. And I have to admit to you that when they came to me with this, when my sons and my husband came to me, and I said, I know we need to do this. I know this is God. There was in my heart a dread, because I don't like to ask people for anything. I suppose it's pride, but it's also a bit of, I want you to like us. I want you to like me. I don't want you to think I'm after your money. And so there's that part of me that is so wrong. And I repent before the Lord, and I repent before you, because I'm wrong. Because here, I'll tell you why. Because God's not after your money, and he's not after me to get your money. He's after our hearts. He is after our hearts. And as I have been studying and listening to my husband and listening to others, God's been telling me and teaching me things. And I know that if we don't teach stewardship to this church, that I am doing you as much of a disservice if I don't teach you about salvation, holiness, sanctification, healing, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and all the other great doctrines of the church that Jesus has given unto us. And so I have been wrong. I want to read you a quote from J.L. Kraft, head of the Kraft Cheese Corporation. You guys ever eat macaroni and cheese? Y'all know what Kraft is, right? J.L. Kraft, head of the Kraft Cheese Corporation, who had given approximately 25% of his enormous income to Christian causes for many years, said, "The only investments I've ever made which have paid constantly increasing dividends is the money I've given to the Lord. Pastors will do their greatest service in leading their men and women to understand the truth of God concerning the stewardship of time and money." John D. Rockefeller explained a great principle when he said, "I never would have been able to tithe the first million if I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 a week." Listen, God has an economic recovery plan for us, just like he has salvation, just like he washes our minds and our hearts, just like he restores our souls and our bodies. It is the will of God for us to prosper. It is the will of God for him to prosper our hands. The first commandment he ever gave to man in the Garden of Eden, he put man in a garden. He didn't put man in a dump. He gave man a job, tend the garden, have dominion. So work is not something bad. Work is God-given, and it's wonderful. Work is good for us, and God made us and put us to be fruitful. This is what he said to Adam and Eve. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and have dominion of the earth. Rule this planet as my underlords, as I rule heaven, sons and daughters of God. We know that when Adam sold out and Eve sold out to temptation and sin, that this planet, the title deed was handed over to Satan, and now there are two kingdoms operating. There's the kingdom of darkness, which Jesus clearly identified Satan as the god of this world, the kingdom of darkness. And there is the kingdom of God, which Jesus said, and Jim has been teaching us about over here. He said in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, "Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So we see two kingdoms, two systems operating, darkness and light. We're going to find out today that if we don't understand this kingdom and this economic system, will be operating over in this one, and it's mammon, and it will be our God, and God wants to free us from that. So number four reason for freedom for the future is God wants to set this congregation free from the spirit of mammon and bring us into the kingdom of God's economic recovery program, and it starts by giving and receiving, and we're going to find out. Will you stand with me as we pray? Father, as I come into your presence now, as we open the word of God, I ask in the name of Jesus for an anointing to teach. I have a very brief time, Father, so I ask that you'd help me be a few words, but they would be wisely spoken. I ask Almighty God that you would free this congregation. Free us from anything that would keep us from entrance and from successfully living in your kingdom and operating and functioning as you want us to function. That we would be an open-hearted, open-handed church. That you could get resources to us and resources through us miraculously so that your plans and your purposes could be done. I mark this day, Father. I mark it in the name of Jesus, this Mother's Day, that God, you would do a sovereign work in the heart of all of us, that we would have a spirit of generosity and faith in this church, that we would fear nothing but you. And I ask that you open our eyes and open our hearts as we open your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 12. We're going to be looking this morning as we go into this fourth session of our capital stewardship campaign, Freedom for the Future. We're going to be looking at a woman because it's Mother's Day and it's called the widow and the widow's mite. How many of you heard about the widow's mites and you know the story? Let me see your hands. Heard the story of the widow's mite. Matthew chapter 12. This widow is going to teach us some lessons on this Mother's Day. So if you don't have your Bibles, you can see on the screen. But if you do, we're in Mark chapter 12. Just briefly, history, quick history. Jesus is in his last year of ministry. He's in Jerusalem. He's teaching. He's about to go to the cross. Find this story in Luke chapter 21, and you'll find it in Mark chapter 12. He's talking in the teaching in the temple. Every day he's going to the temple to teach. The scribes and the Pharisees are looking for a way to take him out. They want to destroy him. He's very close to the cross, and he is in the temple, and he's teaching. And this is what he says in Luke chapter 12, and I'm going to go to verses 38. I'm going to just read it quickly, even though it's not on the overheads. Then he said to them in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at the feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive a greater condemnation." So here he just blasts the scribes and the Pharisees, the very ones that are teaching, that are listening to him, the elders and the leaders. Israel had become so religious. They'd come so locked under the law that all they could do was just the do's and the don'ts of religion. And that's what religion does, is it locks us up into do's and don'ts. You have to do this and you have to do that. See, in the kingdom of God, you don't have to do anything. It's from your heart. We don't have to. We get to. There's a huge mind change and a huge difference. And so these leaders loved money, and they loved the widows' offerings, and they loved to devour widows' homes. And so people will read this and say that that's how the church is. It just wants to devour your finances. It just wants to steal from you. All that pastor talks about is money, money, money. Again, I say unto you, they're wrong, and so was I. Because it's not about money, it's about our hearts. It's about a kingdom, it's about a system, it's about an economic system of heaven, supernatural. You can be natural or you can be supernatural. In the old kingdom, the kingdom that we are in but not of, I am in this world now as a believer, but not of it. In this world but not of it, there is a system, and it's ruled by mammon, and it's buying and selling. Are you with me? That's why pastor's been teaching us that you can't have two masters, because you're going to love one and hate the other. You can't serve God and mammon. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money itself isn't evil. Money is just a servant. That's all it is. And over here in the kingdom of God, the system that God operates in is agape love, selflessness, your needs at my expense. It's keyed in by generosity, and it's moved by faith. Faith moves the invisible into the visible, and it's moved and it operates in giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. Dark kingdom, it's operated by selfishness. Satan's kingdom, my needs at your expense. Buying and selling, that's why there's greed, that's why there's lying, that's why Wall Street goes off, that's why the banks go off, that's why there is trickery, there's deception, there's stealing, there's robbery. This kingdom is fallen. This kingdom has a lot of heartache and a lot of sorrow. And those that desire to be rich in this kingdom are going to absolutely mark themselves for destruction. But this kingdom, operating in the love of God and the generosity of God, God so loved the world that he gave. This system works at your needs, my expense, generosity, giving and receiving. This kingdom has an economic system that works completely different. Fear not, little flock. It's a father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is supernatural. The kingdom of heaven takes 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiplies it to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. The kingdom of heaven, the riches of heaven come in and a withered hand becomes whole. No doctor's bill. The kingdom of heaven comes in, and where you can't, he can. Where what was impossible with man is now possible with God. Where it was possible in this system not to do that, where you had to lie and cheat and steal and work in that system, you come over here and you walk in integrity, you walk in the ways of God, you walk in generosity and sacrifice and faith, and guess what? What couldn't happen over there will happen here. But we got to get over into this kingdom. So God's not after our money, he's after our hearts. Now the money becomes his servant and our servant. It's a totally different system. So he's looking at these scribes and Pharisees, and he's blasting them. He's nailing them, because religion has absolutely destroyed any concept of what Jesus was here to do. They missed the day of their visitation. So here's this widow. She comes in. And let's read it now in verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury. Right after he said that, he sits opposite the treasury. He sees how the people put the money into the treasury. So he's watching now after he said this. He's watching now how they give. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrant. And he said to his disciples, he called his disciples. So they just get the picture. He's just sitting there. He's just taught. He's just said that. He's just sitting down. There were 7 offering containers in the temple. They looked like trumpets. And he's just watching as the people make their progression in the woman's court, just putting the money in. Rich are putting lots of money in. And Jesus is just sitting there. God's just sitting there watching how we give. Because listen, how we give is tied to our hearts. Money's tied to our hearts. And all of a sudden, here comes a widow. She puts in 2 mites. 2 mites was the value of, in today's vernacular, would be about $1.25. Its value was a quadrant, which means that it was 1/64th of a day's wage. A day's wage, if you were a low income, if you were, what is it, minimum wage earner, which she probably was, widow. She had no job, probably had no education. Doesn't tell us much about her, just that she was poor. She was as poor as you can get. So let's say if she could work, which she didn't have a job, if she could, she'd have nothing more than minimum wage. So that'd be about $80 a day. So 1/64th of that would be about $1.25. So she put about $1.25 into the offering. Jesus is watching the rich put in a whole lot of money. Then one poor widow came and she threw in $1.25. And he called his disciples to himself and he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." They put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. So this widow has something to teach me today on Mother's Day. I want to just give you 2 quick things. There's 2 kingdoms. God's translated me in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. He's translated me out of the kingdom of darkness, and he's brought me into the kingdom of his dear son. That's the truth. You got born again, you're out of this kingdom, you're now into this one, the kingdom of God. But if you don't know how it works, you'll operate in the old kingdom, and you're bound by the natural laws of that kingdom. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God wants to set us free from the spirit of mammon. It doesn't need to rule us. And we don't need to be afraid of money. And money shouldn't tell us where we're going, what we're doing, how we're going to give, and where we're going to live, and what our kids are going to be. Mammon is a god. It's demonic. It's from a fallen system. And I am born of the spirit of the living God. He has taken me into the kingdom of his dear son. There is no limit. It is limitless what God has available for those that love him. He has pleasure in the prosperity of his people. John chapter 3 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Until we understand a couple of things, we're never going to get this. Number one, God loves us, and God doesn't want us broke and poor and walking around with nothing in our pockets. He doesn't want us so poor that we can't do anything. That is not who God is. Poverty is not of God. It is of the spirit of the devil, and it is hell on earth. I have been to nations that are dirt poor. I've been in the dumps of the Philippines. I've been to many nations in Africa. I've seen what poverty does. It is not the spirit of God, and it is not from God. It is from Satan himself. It is not the will of God that you and I be so poor that we can't meet the needs of our family and meet the needs of others. That's a lie from the pit of hell. But if we're in this old kingdom and we're bound by the spirit of mammon and we're afraid of money and it rules us, we'll never understand the freedom that is given us. And this widow teaches me some things about this kingdom. God uses a dirt poor woman to teach me about sacrifice and faith. She understood she was a steward. And until you and I understand the 2 kingdoms and that we're stewards, this doesn't belong to us. Nothing I have belongs to me. It all belongs to God. I'm not taking anything with me. I'm here. I manage it but I don't get to take it with me. Thank God I don't have to take it with me. So that means I'm a steward. So what does that mean? If God owns everything, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. If he owns everything, the real basic question here, folks, is listen to this. It's not how much of our money we should give to God, but how much of God's money should we keep for ourselves? The basic question is not how much of our money should we give to God, but how much of God's money should we keep for ourselves? But you see, when you understand that God wants us to prosper, and he's not trying to keep us broke and poor, but he wants to free us from the love of money and from the spirit of mammon. And his system operates in generosity and selflessness and love. And when I release what I have and give it to him, then he can release what he has and give it to me and through me. It's a whole different system. She teaches me two things. Number one, she teaches me sacrifice. These gave a lot of money. These rich men gave a lot of money to the temple. Jesus is watching it. Jesus watches my checkbook and he watches how I give. The value of the sacrifice in my heart determines the value of the gift that I give God. Now, the tithe ought to be where we begin. We're not under the law. The tithe is like training wheels on a bike. We should start with the tithe. That teaches us how to release and to give ourselves over in faith to the one that has our eternity. If I can't trust him with my eternity, what, I can't trust him with my everyday? So 90% of my money, when I give him 10% of it, 90% of it he gives back to me, he blesses it. But now there's offerings. And offerings go into sacrifice. Offerings, she gave all she had. They gave out of their abundance. They weren't going to miss it. It didn't mean anything to them. I've got this extra, I'll give it to God. But you see, she gave everything she had. And that impressed the heart of God. God stopped everything and said, come here, boys, I'm going to teach you. This is a show and tell time. This is a teaching time. Disciples, you're going to be the apostles. This is what I'm looking for. This woman doesn't have much, $1.25. What, she can get a couple of Del Tacos? That's all she's got. But that's all she's got. She's going home to nothing. She's going home to an empty refrigerator. She's going home to no bank account. She's going home to no food. All she's got is $1.25. Now, that can't get her much. So she is bringing everything she has. That's called sacrifice. It's costing her everything to trust God. God pays attention to the sacrifice of my heart. And number two, she teaches me faith. You see, you can't sacrifice without faith. Or it becomes a works program. And you give grudgingly. And God says, I love a cheerful giver whose heart is in their giving. Again, God, how do I get my heart in my giving? Well, if I live in this kingdom, the fallen kingdom of this world, buying and selling where there's weeds, thorns, and thistles, where I'm under the system of the natural, where I'm in it, but I'm not of it. But if I go over here and I say, nuts to that system, I'm going to live in this system. God, I don't understand it yet, but I'm learning about it. And I'm understanding that, Lord, when I give and I open my hand, God, and I give in faith, now I'm believing you to give back to me what I'm going to need. You see, God isn't asking us to sell everything and walk around naked and hungry and poor. He is asking us to sacrifice and to release what's in our hand so he can give us what's in his hand. It's a big difference. It's like the little girl that had the pop bead necklace. She was 6 years old and she had these pop beads and she loved them. She wore them to bed every night. They were little pop bead pearls. They were her favorite thing. Every night she'd wear them to bed and her daddy came and pray with her every night. He'd say, honey, would you give me those pop beads? I love you so much. Do you love me enough to give you those pop beads? She said, no, daddy, you don't need those. They're mine. I love them, daddy. She didn't know that her daddy had bought her pearls. He had them in his pocket. He had him ready to give her every night if she'd just give him her pop beads, her plastic beads. But she didn't trust her daddy. She didn't know that her daddy had the real thing to give her. Night after night, he'd ask her for those pop beads. Night after night, she'd say, no, daddy, they're mine. Why would you want them? Finally, one night, she said, oh, daddy, I love you so much. I love you more than these silly pop beads. Daddy, if you want them, if you really want them, here, daddy, I'm going to take them off. I'm going to give them to you. When she opened her hand and she gave those pop beads to her daddy pulled out of his pocket. He said, I've been waiting for this. He said, child, I know you love these pearls. They're not real. So I bought you real pearls. Here, let me put them around your neck. You see, that's how our Father is. We hold on to the dust of this earth like it's everything. And God's just waiting for me to just release the dust so he can give me the true riches, what really belong to me. It's called faith. It's called faith. It's called faith, church. Pastor Jim, come on up. I'm about finished. Freedom for the future. God wants this church free out of debt. Maybe we're all personally not out of debt yet. Let's get this church out of debt. Watch God watch us get out of debt as we begin to get out of this kingdom, get into this one. God wants us to sacrifice for the next generation because this is a generational church. As it's multicultural, it is multi-generational. If the Lord tarries, I'm going to be in heaven looking down. If God lets me look through the window, I don't know. There's a great cloud of witnesses. Maybe I'm going to get to join them. I'm going to be cheering you on and cheering you on and cheering you on as you win souls for the kingdom of God until the Lord returns. Freedom for the next generation. Number three, freedom for ministries. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. What can we do when we are free from debt and this church begins to understand the kingdom of concept of tithing and giving? It's giving and receiving. In giving, we have freely received. God says, freely you've received, freely give. Church, he wants to free us from the spirit of mammon and the fear of money. He wants us, like that little girl, to take off the necklace, give it to Dad, and let him give us the true riches of what he's been waiting. But he needs an open heart, sacrificial, and a heart full of faith. So as we open our hands and our heart, he can put in what he's been waiting to give us, the miraculous, supernatural kingdom of heaven.
So good.